common sense commentary on politics, culture, and current events. If it's on your mind, it's In the News. And now, In the News, with your host, Mike Dakak.
So I've got a couple of days left here before I'm back off of suspension. I'm going to release this episode, obviously, on the podcast channels, and then when I'm off the suspension, I'll put it up on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on YouTube, it means I'm back. 2 weeks ago, I talked about vaccines and depopulation and how the few like to control the many, and I guess that wasn't appreciated. It wasn't liked. I got a strike. So last week, we got into even more detail into those three topics because obviously they left us no choice, and that's what we had to do. We got suspended for a week. If we violate the policies again, we're going to get suspended for 2 weeks. And if we do it again after that, we're going to get banned. So I guess we're going to have to do it again and get suspended for 2 weeks. And then after that, do it again and get banned. Because we can't stop telling the truth. And if the truth involves some of these things we're talking about, then we're going to keep talking about them. The real kind of light bulb moment here for me is that apparently the depopulation thing is real. Otherwise, why are they banning people over it? I talked to you last week about how True News on May 19th of last year mentioned the depopulation agenda. There was a meeting in New York back in 2009 between the world's, or at least some of America's, wealthiest and most powerful people. And they all agreed that overpopulation was the world's number one problem. And I just to read, refresh your memory and read a couple of paragraphs from the article here. Some of America's leading billionaires have met secretly to consider how their wealth could be used to slow the growth of the world's population and speed up improvements in health and education. The philanthropists who attended a summit convened on the initiative of Bill Gates, because who else? That wasn't in the article, that was me. The Microsoft co-founder discussed joining forces to overcome political and religious obstacles to change. Get that. The billionaires were each given 15 minutes to present their favorite cause, but then over dinner they discussed how they might settle on an umbrella cause that could harness their interests. Now, why would their interests need to be harnessed? I mean, there's no shortage of good causes out there, right? If one billionaire wants to concentrate on water quality, then why aren't they allowed to do that? If another billionaire wants to concentrate on education in underdeveloped countries, then why aren't they allowed to do it? No, it has to be harnessed and it has to be put under an umbrella cause. And guess what the umbrella cause was? Well, there was nothing as crude as a vote, one guest said, but a consensus emerged that they would back a strategy in which population growth would be tackled as a potentially disastrous environmental, social, and industrial threat. So they come at you from all the angles. It's an environmental problem, it's a social problem, it's an industrial problem, it's an economic problem. They completely wrap it up with a nice little bow, and that's why you should be suspicious. This is something so nightmarish that everyone in this group agreed it needs big brain answers, and it needs to be independent of government agencies. They wanted to speak rich to rich, an attendee said, without worrying anything they said would end up in the newspapers, painting them as an alternative world government. What would give you that idea? Maybe it's because it's exactly what they are. And True News, way back on May 19th of last year, reported on that meeting, and it wasn't hearsay. It wasn't a theory. They were just reporting what the Times of London was saying. I mean, they literally just read from the article on the air, as I did last week and as I did briefly here again today. The next day, their channel was banned from YouTube permanently. Can you imagine that? I mean, they had gone into some trouble previously because they were talking about this COVID thing very, very, very early on. I became red-pilled right around this time last year. Actually, it was right around the beginning of 2020 when the sham impeachment was going on. This is the first one because there were two sham impeachments. The one where just about everyone Trump hired testified against him. And the whistleblower came out and said there was a quid pro. Oh my God, there was a quid pro quo. Oh. And I think back to how I covered that story before I realized it was all theater. And I used to do a lot of, you know, what could be described as milquetoast kind of stuff. And at the time I did a lot of, well, you know, of course there was a quid pro quo, but it wasn't an impeachable offense. And I mean, I guess it's really not all that different from how I feel about it today, to be honest. I mean, you know, maybe I'm being a little hard on myself, but it wasn't just that it was milquetoast or not. It was that it missed the point. And the point was that they wanted Trump gone because he was waking us up. That's the bottom line. And that was just another, I mean, you see, the thing with the globalists is that they never stop. They think they're going to win every battle they engage in. If not today, then tomorrow. So they never stop. So even if that impeachment didn't work, there was going to be something else. And of course, as we've seen, there was. Their plans have to succeed at all costs. And so, and I mean, that's a coup d'etat, right? When the crime has to succeed at all costs, and the perpetrators are not prosecutable for anything by anyone, that's a coup d'etat. And so we've been living with a constant coup d'etat for about 70 years, really, since the end of World War II. That's when the communists looked around, saw America as the lone bulwark left against communism and their global rule, and said, well, you know, well, that's it. We've got to go after America and turn her communist. And it's been nonstop subversion and destabilization. It's been a nonstop subversion and destabilization campaign ever since. But it wasn't a quick one. People are kind of accustomed to looking around at the news headlines today. This is much more sophisticated than that. It goes much deeper than that. It was a 100-year plan. And that's why Trump had to go. More than anything else, he was alerting people to this plan, even if indirectly, even if only peripherally. He was waking people up to it, and that's why they're so deathly afraid of him, because ultimately they're deathly afraid of us. You know, I don't think I've ever mentioned this before with you guys, but when I first started this show, I had a gentleman write me. I mean, it was an episode of the podcast years ago. But I had a gentleman write me and say, I've written a book and I want to be a guest on your show. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, this is great. I was just starting out. And I said, you know, someone wants to be a guest on my show. Cool. And he had just written an ebook about a 50-year plan. I'm not exactly sure if it was a 50 or what number he assigned to it, but a multi-year plan to turn the country communist. I believe the man's name was David Young. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but if I went back, I could probably, you know, dig into my old records. I might be able to find his name. But I believe it was David Young. And I remember I asked him to send me a copy of his book so I could skim through it and read it a little bit, become knowledgeable about what he was writing about and have something to talk about when he came on my show. He sends it to me and I'm reading through it. And in the book, I remember he laid out a 45-point plan for how the communists were going to go about achieving this. And at the time, I was still relatively young. I mean, I wasn't young in age, but I was relatively naive about politics still and the way things worked, especially about the global cabal that's trying to enslave us all at this point. And so I didn't really believe anything this gentleman had to say, not to put too fine a point on it. But I prided myself on conducting my show and talking about issues in a calm, measured way and how all viewpoints were welcome, and talking about issues in a way that was respectful to all sides. And so I had him on and we discussed his ideas, and that was that. I think back to that book of his almost on a weekly basis at this point. Because when you read through that list, boy, the dots really do connect. And the list, the excerpts were taken from a book written by Cleon Skousen called The Naked Communist, which basically sought to alert Americans to the threat they were facing in communism. It was written in 1963. Keep that in mind. This is Skousen's book. David Young's book, I believe that's the author's name, was written several years ago, 2013, 2014. And it drew heavily from Skousen's work. And so Skousen puts out this 45-point plan, and I'm going to share some of them with you here. I'm not going to read all 45, but I'm going to post them on the website, because I just found them the other day, and you can read them there. They'll be up on the site probably by the time you're hearing this. But check out this list, this partial list, and see if any of this sounds familiar. Promote the United Nations as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. This is a 45-point plan on how they're going to turn the country communist. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Infiltrate the press. Gain control of key positions in radio, television, and motion pictures. Is this starting to become clear yet? Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to, quote, eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them, quote unquote, censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and television. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as, quote, normal, natural, healthy. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of American tradition. I mean, what reminded me of this list, especially this week, is that I came across a tweet the other day that illustrates perfectly the one about the eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings and substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. It was two pictures side by side, and it was this very grand kind of an intricate sculpture that was created in the 1700s of Zeus or, you know, some historical figure or something like that. And it was in Europe. And then, they were both in Europe. And the one on the left was this grand sculpture from the 1700s. And the one on the right was one made in 2014, I believe the tweet said. And it was this very odd kind of shaped, it looked like a phallic symbol. And it was this ugly green color, and it was huge, and it was right in the middle of some town square, and it was like, how far the world has fallen. If this were a video show, I'd be able to pop it up on the screen, but I'll drop a link to it in the show notes, and you guys can check it out for yourselves. I mean, they've made good, folks. They told us exactly what they were going to do, and they did it. They've done it. And people say, well, you know, if there was this really this global cabal to take, would they tell you they were going to? Yes, because that's what they, remember, under their rules, their global cabal rules, if they tell you what they're going to do beforehand and you don't stop them, then you've implicitly given them permission and you've acquiesced to their plan. Hey, you know, we told them and they let us show their kids pornography on the internet. So what do you want from us? No one made them do it. That's why when they tell you last summer, for example, last July and August, when they come out and they say, we're going to use protests, massive protests, to make Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico states, among other things. And just this week, you see a bill is being marked up in Congress to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. And it's set to be voted on in committee on April 14th, and it's probably going to pass out of that committee because that committee is Democrat-controlled. It's not about being a conspiracy theorist. The signals are out there. You just have to pick up on them. And by the way, this list is a prime example of having the evidence right before your eyes, but still not being able to see it for what it is, right? And so it reminds you that you can't be too judgmental with people who don't see what's going on, because ultimately it's not about what the eye see. It's what about, and to get a little spiritual and philosophical here, it's about what God opens your heart to. We think we see with our eyes. It's really God that makes you see. But boy, when you think about that list, you see that's exactly what's happening here, isn't it? And so it's taken a while, but we're wide awake now, aren't we? And more of us are waking up every day. And so this sham impeachment is taking place last year, and all of a sudden I hear Rick Wiles on True News call it a sham impeachment, and this wave just kind of washes over me, and I'm like, oh my God, it's all true. And then COVID comes along, and if there was ever a story that is tailor-made to wake people up, it was COVID. We talked about the vaccines last week and the mRNA technology and how it's an operating system for your body. The censors didn't like that, so we're going to talk about it again. And how they're otherwise dangerous. Just this week, by the way, to talk about, speaking of vaccines, Germany banned the AstraZeneca vaccine because it was causing blood clots in people. Then France did the same thing. Then they came back and said, no, it's okay. Then other countries followed along. And then the consensus was, well, it's not safe for over 65, but everyone else is okay. Then it was, well, only above 55. And then it was, well, it's okay, but we have to watch the blood clots. And then the WHO comes out and says, no, keep using it because the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risks. That's not an inaccurate statement, by the way. The benefits do outweigh the risks. The question is, the benefits to whom? Not to you, to them. And so True News was the first, I believe, to talk about how we're all going to be locked down. And we're not going to be let back out. And, you know, a lot of other outlets followed along. It wasn't too difficult to see where we were heading at that point, if you chose to see. And we're not going to be let back out, figuratively speaking. We're not going to be allowed to get back to quote unquote normal, our normal lives, without taking the vaccine. Oh, you're crazy. You're a crackpot. Ban them. Censor them. You're in a cult. Tinfoil hat. Where? And yet here we are. And the vaccine passport is being rolled out. Technologists and consultants who are helping to design future digital vaccine cards said they're counting on the Biden administration to provide federal support for the effort. In a scramble, this is from an MSN article that I just read just this morning, as a matter of fact. A scramble has been growing for months among big tech companies, nonprofits, and state agencies to try and invent a secure electronic method for storing and sharing vaccine records and coronavirus test results. Something more sophisticated they're looking for and private than a photo of a paper vaccine card. And so there's talk, the article goes on to say, of these passports being used on airlines. Before you can board airlines, you have to have these apps and show that you've taken a vaccine. They're already being used on airlines, actually, some overseas. Lufthansa comes to mind. I think Qatar Airways also has begun rolling it out, and domestic airlines are now testing it as well. Walmart is going to roll it out. Krispy Kreme donut shops are going to roll it out. Stadiums and venues like Madison Square Garden are testing it out. And so they were right. And they were talking about, independent news sources were talking about depopulation for a long time. So it seems they were right about that as well. And other independent sources have spent months talking about the vaccine and the dangers there, and it's starting to look like they were right about that. And so we're going to continue talking about these things. Big tech and their stupid strikes be damned. You know, Cheryl Atkinson, who's an independent investigative journalist, she's worked a long time in the mainstream media, and then she kind of got red-pilled herself, and now she's out on her own conducting pretty valuable investigative research on her own independently. She gave a presentation recently at a university. The name escapes me right now, but she talked about how you have to make it a point to seek out information that gets banned. Because why are they banning it? Here's what it comes down to. Do you really believe that YouTube gives a damn about you and your family? Do you think that Twitter cares about what's best for you? The WHO cares about... Why don't they take down all these big tech companies that are busy censoring people for talking about vaccines and legitimate dangers with them and depopulation? Why don't they take down all the child pornography that their sites are littered with if they really care? why don't these billionaires get together and go after pornography sites where children are trafficked right before our eyes and sexually abused right before our eyes? They care about themselves and their agendas. And their agendas are in conflict with your agenda, with your best interests. We just went through the laundry list, right? Well, if they tell us and we're silent, then that gives them permission. Then us choosing not to be silenced is denying them permission, right? Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep fighting and denying them permission. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments on any of the issues we discussed, drop me a line. You can reach me at comments@itnshow.com. That's comments@itnshow.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Till next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
If it's on your mind, it's in the news. Subscribe to In the News on both iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This has been In the News.